The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation.
Good morning and welcome to Health Matters. Why? Because your health does matter. My name is Peter Fallon, the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare. And joining me this morning, as I love to say, joins me every morning, is my wife, Ann Feller, who's the Regional Director of Patient Services, as well as the Director of Quality Assurance. Ann, could you give our listening audience of WTBQ a good morning greeting?
Good morning, everyone.
Oh, that's great, Ann. I love when I hear you say that. Now, joining us in the studio, we have two very distinguished men. The first one is one of my bosses, Mr. Pat Onady, who's the Vice President of Human Resources at A&T Healthcare. Pat, could you give our listening audience of the WTBQ a good morning greeting?
Good morning, everybody.
Oh, that's great. Now, right now today on Health Matters, we have a very distinguished guest, is Mr. Michael Goetz. He has been a coach. He's known as the father of lacrosse. He brought lacrosse, the game of lacrosse, to Rockland County almost 50 years ago. He's been a guidance counselor and teaching everything as far as like the benefits of sports and all. But Mr. Goetz, which I shall call you coach henceforth, please give our listening audience of WTBQ a good morning greeting.
Well, good morning, and I'm really excited to be here in the studio.
Oh, that's great. Joining us will be Dr. Michael Gilead. He will be joining us later on in the broadcast. And today's program is going to be on high school athletics fosters a lifespan of well-being, meaning that if you start getting active in sports early on in life, you're going to follow it through throughout your livelihood so that you're able to have a healthy lifestyle, as we always promote on Health Matters. Okay, A&T Healthcare is a home healthcare agency. We have offices in Newburgh, Kingston, Mount Kisco, New Jersey, and New York City. And our corporate office is in New City, New York. We at A&T Healthcare are very honored to be broadcasting every Thursday morning on health-related topics and subjects. We are not controversial, contentious, or confrontational. However, we are engaging, informative, and I always want to say entertaining. And as long as with Pat and Coach here, and Michael joining us later, we certainly will be entertaining. We do accept any questions or any comments that you may have on this program. The number is 845-651-1110. That's 845 area code 651-1110. And as always, thank you for making us a part of your Thursday morning. Okay, before we get started, we'd like to remind everyone to please follow us on Facebook. Coach and Pat, we have to know that that's the quintessential social media. So often you find out about it. I know you were just recently on it. We're going to be talking about it later. And I didn't know about it because I was following Steve Mattia on Facebook, and that's what I knew about the information. So that's how it is. You want to find out what's happening, what's good. You have to be on Facebook. So please follow us. I know our numbers are really going up, man. I think we're almost over at 2,000. I think we're at 2,000 or so. So I think that's something that's been very good. We also, please call A&T Healthcare. We are going to be starting a new series of home health care classes, as long as with PCA classes, patient care aid classes. Just call A&T. You can go to our website.
We will. We'll be starting a home health aid class in May in our Rockland New City branch. So you can certainly give a call out to Ellie or Danya or Rebecca, Nicole or Andrew.
Yeah, that's going to be starting on May 9th.
So. And that'll be starting soon. So if you're interested, you got to give them a call as soon as you can at 845-638-4342.
And as I always say, is that there's no charge for taking the particular course. However, you must be accepted into it. As I said, we always have someone. It really takes a special person as far as being able to work in the home care setting. And that's one of the things that we want to see comes out during the interview. I have a real quick story. One of the things that we always say about Health Matters, and we always stress, is that you really have to have like regular checkups with your physicians. And that's always like part of what we stress, is that you have to have doctors and follow them accordingly. And I always used to joke. I used to say that one of the parameters that determines whether you're doing good is that the number of frequencies that you have to see a particular doctor. So if you're seeing a doctor once every 2 years, and then it goes once every year, and then it goes once every twice a year, well, maybe there's more of a concern, but it doesn't mean that you're not getting healthy. But the idea is you just have to be closely monitored. I saw my dermatologist Monday, and I have to tell this story, but originally I was seeing him every 5 years. And when I saw him last year, he said, "No, Peter, no more this 5 years. It's every year." So I went in there last week, and I was talking with the nurse. She was doing the assessment, and I went through the whole thing. And then, like, kind of at the end, I don't know why it just came out, but I said, you know, I love being out in the sun. And she looked at me like I said some obscene, vulgar, covering her ears.
Don't
oh, please, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. I said, oh, my gosh. And I know we're going to be talking about sports and stuff like that. And a lot of times we know the weather's getting nice and you want to get outside, but you just have to make sure that you do have it covered. So let's get started. What today's program is going to be on. We're talking about high school athletes fosters a lifespan of well-being. And we're talking about the secret to fewer doctor office visits. I just said that. After 70, they say play high school sports. The study that was done by Simone Dohol from the University of Cologne and also Brian Wensick, he's from Cornell University, is that they said that playing high school sports is a predictor for health in the old age. The best predictor of whether a healthy young man would regularly exercise 50 years later was simply whether he played sports in high school. One of the study was, it was studied, there's 712 World War II veterans who were healthy as young men. They had passed a rigorous physical exam, being screened for the military, and they surveyed them 50 years later. And they were average age of 78 years old. The most surprising results were those who had played high school sports in 1930 and early 40s reported visiting their doctor fewer times. They said that the best predictor of a healthy young man who regularly exercised 50 years later was simply that he just played as a team or individual sport in high school. And many of those who played high school sports were still active compared to those who didn't. So that's the part of our premise. So first, I'm going to start talking to Coach Michael Goetz. Could you just tell our listening audience something about yourself? And if there's anyone that exemplifies having a healthy lifestyle, it is Coach Goetz, who's right next to me right now. You told me you're 74 years old.
Correct.
And I tell you, you look fantastic. And it didn't – I know it wasn't sitting at home watching TV and eating Twinkies, okay? But tell us something about yourself.
Well, it was mainly plastic surgery. No, I'm only kidding.
Oh, I could go for that.
I really try to eat healthy. I've always tried to eat healthy. There are times when I cheat. Because I'm diabetic, I really, really have to watch the sweets, which is probably my biggest weakness. However, I do get checked. As Peter said, I get checked regularly by two to three different doctors every year at least. My dermatologist as well, because when you're coaching – you're outdoors a lot, mm-hmm. and the seasons I was coaching outdoors during soccer and lacrosse is an awful lot of sun, and I used to have a great tan and say, wow, look at my great tan.
Right.
And now my doctor says to me, my dermatologist, you're paying for that great tan right now.
Right. So it's cumulative, right?
Exactly, the cumulative rays of the sun. I think, too, the atmosphere has changed somewhat since I started coaching maybe 50 years ago. And it's a lot probably more dangerous now than it ever was. So you really have to watch yourself. As far as lifestyle, I'm 74 years old. I played in high school. I played in college. I coached. I try to stay in good shape. It doesn't really look good when you're the coach of a team trying to get young athletes into shape and you look like you came off the couch watching TV programs 24/7. So I think that's part of it. Being a role model is the other part of it.
That's great. We have a caller on the line. Hi, could you tell me your first name and where are you calling from?
My first name is Mike. I'm calling from Florida.
Oh, and it's Dr. Michael Gilligan. Michael, say good morning to Coach Goetz and my wife Ann and Pat Onity.
Hey, Michael.
Coach Goetz, hello.
How you doing?
And Ann, how you doing?
Good morning. How are you? Talking about sun.
We're talking about sun.
You know, I just listened to Coach Goetz say how great shape he was back then, and he had all the girls Googling over him.
Uh-oh.
Don't tell my wife.
I won't.
Okay.
Listen,
But they all loved you.
Well, thanks for that.
We do it. No, we're just saying it. And Pat Onity, why don't you comment? You, as you know, Dr. Gillen, I'm going to call you Mike, okay, Mike?
Yeah,
Mike and Pat, they both had Coach Goetz as a coach. So, Pat, tell us about how Coach Getz was and how he disciplined you and how you played.
I just used a whip. It was easier.
I don't really remember a lot of discipline because he just let us play. I started out as a freshman on the JV team. About halfway through the year, I got brought up to the varsity, which was fun for me because my older brother was on the team and all my brother's friends who I used to watch growing up because they were good athletes. And I just started that way. As far as discipline, he really wasn't. He wasn't a tough guy. You know, he made us run. He made us do drills, but that's what you had to do.
And you were always quick, Pat. That was the one joke I always say, that Paul Toscano, one of my coaches, who also coached Pat Onady, when we were talking together, Coach Toscano points to me in my face and says, he was quick, pointing to Pat and all this other stuff. And I said, oh, why was it? Mike, could you comment on your experience as far as having Coach Guest as one of your coaches?
Well, you know, I was a late bloomer in lacrosse. It was after my sophomore year that my good buddy Howie Small got me involved in the summer league. And when I first picked up a stick, I was horrible. I couldn't do anything with that stick. And but I loved the sport, and I continued to work hard. And I played JV under Paul Toscano on junior year, and then finally I was able to make the varsity senior year. So I was kind of a late bloomer. And Coach was always a good stickler on, you know, the basics. Man ball drill, picking up the ball, the loose ball, doing everything correctly with your passing. So, you know, he was a great coach. He really taught us a lot. And without lacrosse, I tell you, it helps you. When you have a sport behind you, it helps you advance in life, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It really
yeah.
helps you interact with people, move on to the next level, things like that. So I really appreciated it. And I'm so happy, Coach Getz, that you became the father of lacrosse for Rockland.
Father of lacrosse.
Well, thank you.
He's very
you.
Humble.
Thanks, Michael.
You're listening to Health Matters. And when we come back, we continue our discussion on the benefits of playing high school sports and how it follows you throughout your life. You're listening to Health Matters.
A&T Healthcare hires the most qualified pediatric high-tech RNs and LPNs. They provide care with the utmost compassion and sensitivity. A&T Healthcare are committed to providing their pediatric and adult patients with the highest standards of nursing care. By providing high-caliber, reliable nurses and high-quality service, A&T Healthcare consistently delivers more value for each dollar spent. Call 845-638-4342 or visit at-healthcare.com.
Hi, this is Mary Ulrich with Cornell Cooperative Extension in Orange County, inviting you to join me and your Orange County farmers on Farm Talk every Wednesday at 12 noon, where you will learn everything agriculture on WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
Hi, this is Dan Castricone. Join me every Thursday at 12:30 for the Dan Castricone Radio Show. We'll take your phone calls, have exciting guests, talk about current events, maybe a little politics. Thursdays at 12:30 on WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
WTBQ,
and welcome back to Health Matters. My name is Peter Fell. I'm the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare. And joining me this morning, we have a full house, and I love it when it's a full house. I have my wife, Ann Fell, who's the Regional Director of Patient Care Services, as well as the Director of Quality Assurance at A&T Healthcare. And with us is Mr. Pat Onity, Vice President of Human Resources for A&T Healthcare, also a former player for Mr. Getz, and Mr. Getz is our distinguished, as he's known, as the father of lacrosse. And on the line from sunny Florida is Dr. Michael Gilligan, who has been on our show several times. You know, I have to say this, Mike, in all fairness, you know, people talk about, well, they have Dr. Phil and they got Dr. Oz, but you know what? Health Matters has Dr. Gilligan, and I tell you, that works for me. I feel very good about that.
Works for me, too.
Okay. Today's program, we're talking about how, sports affects, you know, people that participate in high school sports, how it has something where there's a better lifestyle that they continue throughout your life. And we have two examples of it. I know, like, we have Pat and you, Mike, who's a doctor, that you've been involved in sports. We're so happy to have, Coach Guest here, who is the father of lacrosse. Can you tell us the story how you got lacrosse in Rockland County? This is a fascinating story. How did you go about
Well, the first time I ever saw a lacrosse game, I was in college. I had been a baseball player, not a great one, but a baseball player. And I saw a lacrosse game when I went to college, and I said, wow, this sport is fantastic. I couldn't get over the just the gracefulness. And so I decided to do a little research about it, and I found out a lot of great information and how it was actually Native American in origin and so on. So when I got out of school and college and I went to work at Clarkstown High School, I noticed there was no lacrosse in Rockland County. And I had brought two sticks with me that I had used in college. And I started throwing around the ball against the handball courts. A couple of students came over, said, what are you doing? What is that? You know, they thought I was catching fish. I don't know what it was. But anyway, about 3 years later, I started a lacrosse club in 1966. I had two
sticks. 50 years, right?
50
okay.
years.
Okay, wow.
50 years ago. It's like amazing. I think I was about a 23 or 24-year-old at the time, and I, you know, some of my students were a few years younger than I was. So I put up notices around the school. I got kids who were interested. I had about maybe 40 students who were interested at first. I knew the coach at West Point at the time. I called him up. I said, listen, you have any game film you could send me? Because the students have no idea what lacrosse is about. So I brought down, you know, he sent me some film. I showed the film. Now I had more interest. Wow, this is looking good. I was able to get equipment at that time from the United States Lacrosse Coaches Association, who were trying to grow the sport in high schools. So the equipment was free. We had 20 pads and gloves and so on, but we didn't have a lot of sticks. So I took orders for sticks. I found out how much they went. I took a drive up to the Onondaga Reservation in Syracuse, New York.
Okay, New York, yes. Yeah, Onondaga County,
where,
yes.
Right, where they made the sticks on the Indian reservations, actually in a hothouse.
Wow.
Where they would, because the sticks were made of one piece of wood, which they bent, and then they used cow gut and leather to string them. It was, like, amazing to watch. And I brought all the sticks back in my car, in my trunk, in the back seat. It was like crazy. And that's how basically we got it. I was able to speak to the athletic director, who had no money but was willing to give me some old uniforms from, I think, 1930 or 35. I don't know where they're from. But and that's how it started. And I picked up a few games here and there once the kids got into it.
But now, how did you play them? Like, Clarkson was – were there anyone – like, was Pearl River – did they have a team?
Nobody in Rockland County had a team. Nobody. A year or two later, after I started it, and we had to travel the first year. We had to travel to Connecticut. We had to travel to New Jersey, Fairlawn. We had to travel all over the place in order to get teams. There were some teams in Westchester, so I was able to get a few games there. And that's how we started, and that was the birth of lacrosse. A year or two later, somebody by the name of Woody Shuck started the game in Suffern, and John Beek from NIAC started there, I think it was about 2 years later. So that's how the programs got going.
Now, Pat and Michael, you didn't have to travel. Did Rockland have the teams at that time when you were playing?
Well, when we were playing, we played Mamaroneck, we played Ossining over in Westchester County. Plus, I think Spring Valley had a team by then, right, Coach?
Yeah, Spring Valley picked it up.
And what about you, Pat? Like, when you were...
I remember playing Montclair, Fairlawn, Clifton.
Yeah, those were old top teams.
New Canaan.
New Canaan.
Greenwich, we played. So
right.
I guess we kept going back to Connecticut and Jersey. But the Montclair game was always fun because we always played at Montclair State, and so we got to play in the Escher Turf Field for the first time. That was big back then.
Very big.
You know, Pat had mentioned something, and could you comment on this, is that so often you had brothers. When I was at my college fraternity, I'm still talking about it. If you had a brother who joined the fraternity, that was called the legacy. But you had a litany of individuals. And Pat, you just said that brothers had already played with you, and then the brother was following their footsteps.
Yeah, it was exciting for me because that said to me that lacrosse was starting to grow, because it was actually pockets of in neighborhoods where, you know, somebody played it, the younger siblings picked it up. Neighbors and friends started to pick it up, so that the game sort of grew. Some of my best players ever had never touched a stick until they were in the seventh or eighth grade, and only because their brothers or their neighbors were playing the game. We never, unfortunately at Clarkstown, we never had a theater program where youngsters start at the elementary and work their way up, so that my seniors maybe had 4 years of experience, and other teams, their players started in the third and fourth grade. By the time they were in the eighth grade, they had more experience than my seniors. And because lacrosse is a skill.
That's the problem.
Right. Yeah. Let me tell you, I wanted to know about like injuries and stuff like that. I know there's always like the concern when we talk about sports. I mean, it's so ubiquitous. Yeah. I know about it. We've had several shows on traumatic brain. And even Dr. Gilligan had commented. He was on one of the shows talking about it. How are the injuries pertaining to lacrosse? Is that the same? Is there more in that as opposed to football or basketball or? I know that ball is very heavy, and I think I heard some story if you needed a chest protector, you weren't going to make the team or something like that. Is there any truth to that?
No.
Okay.
Now the heart guard is become very popular.
Okay.
Yes. When I was playing in high school and college, the only one who wore a chest protector was the goalie. Okay. And when I was in college, there was guys I played against that shot the ball 115 miles an hour. And one of those balls comes and hits you in the chest. That's hurts some damage.
Right. And you did wear helmets, right, Mike? I remember I used to see Dr. Gilligan play ice hockey. You know, at like 4 o'clock in the morning. It was a little tour, big tour. What was it?
Little tour.
And no one wore helmets then, except for the goalies. But he said for lacrosse, you always did have the helmet on.
We had helmets with a mask on it. Arm pads, some players wore shoulder pads, and you always had gloves, because in lacrosse, you can check with your stick against the player that has the ball. Okay. So you can try to check his hands and dislodge the ball if you can. Also, there's physical checking, not anywhere near hockey probably, and not definitely not anything near football, right, which is constant hitting.
Right.
So the injuries were primarily bruising, maybe on the arm and so on, or if you got hit with the ball someplace, that kind of hurt. But for the most part, I think in all the years I've coached, I think one of my players was injured a little bit more than that. I don't recall a lot of.
Separated my shoulder.
Yeah,
why don't you talk about your injuries? Go ahead.
Yeah. I got one of those buddy passes, one of somebody lobbed up, and I was looking over my shoulder waiting for it to come down, and somebody
clocked you.
Just ran me over. And the funny part of it is, it's funny now, but I got up and I walked off the field and I sat on the bench, and then the Scarsdale coach picked me up and brought me back to my team.
Oh, good. Yeah. Yeah.
But I remember, he was always a dizzy player.
The funny thing is, I remember we had to wait for the game to be over to take the bus back to Clarkstown North before I got to the hospital.
Yeah. Oh, we wanted the pain to settle down. That's like,
yeah, that wouldn't happen now.
Oh, yeah, no. It wouldn't happen now. Well, in those days, of course, we didn't have any trainers. Mm-hmm. There was no trainers. Now, most teams have a trainer, so that when there is somebody that gets, shaken up or injured, there's somebody there that will immediately help them. I mean, it is to some extent a physical game. I mean, it's not like basketball, which could get physical under the hoop, but it's physical in view of the fact that when there's a player within 5 yards of a loose ball, you can hit them. Okay. And that's what happened. That's known as a buddy pass. When you throw the ball slowly and give the opposition a chance to knock down the recipient of the pass before the pass reaches him.
Michael, did you have any injuries in your career, be it vis-a-vis in high school?
No, high school and college. I played 4 years of college lacrosse, and I was never injured. So
wow.
I was blessed. Yeah.
Good for you.
Michael, what was your secret for that? How's it you never got injured? Do you have any, you know, I mean, we've been saying it all along that there's a, you know, there's an inherent risk to any game that you're playing.
I avoided those hits that Pat just
Well, I think the game is a little bit better controlled on a college level than it is on a high school level.
Yeah.
And part of the problem was in the early years, I knew more than the officials. And this became problematic because there'd be a foul
and they wouldn't call it.
So what that did was that sort of gave carte blanche to everybody else. Well, if they didn't make that call, then we can do it. But now I've watched quite a few games and the officiating is pretty much top notch.
Well, especially at the college level, the ball is so much
more.
You
played college, right? You played college. Yes, go ahead. Yeah. I'm sorry.
The talent is a lot better. In high school, there's a lot of kids. They go out for lacrosse because they like the sport, but they really don't know how to play the game, and
exactly.
they don't know how to throw and catch. So a lot of times the ball is on the ground. So when the ball is on the ground and people are running with their heads down, they're crashing into each other without even knowing they're crashing into each other. They're just running for a ball. But I found in college, you could line somebody up to hit them, and then the ball's gone. And somebody else has the ball, and then it's moving somewhere else. So the ball moved too fast.
Yeah, that's a great point.
The skills were so much better that you know there was going to be collisions in front of the net. You know, if somebody cuts right across and there's people there, yeah, people are going to be banging into each other. Well, and then most times the ball moves so much faster that you would take a chance to hit somebody and then the ball was gone and you had to turn back and go somewhere else.
Right, it was a lot cleaner game.
Right.
It's smooth smoothness in the game and as Pat just said, the quickness of the players at that level, and today it's even quicker because when we first started, it was a wooden stick, and when you hit somebody's gloves with a wooden stick, that was ouch. But now the sticks are lightweight, they're aluminum handles, they're plastic heads on them, there's mesh in the pocket. The game, the equipment is better, the helmets are better. We started out, we had leather helmets. Much like Notre Dame's first football teams. And now they're made out of plastic with better face guards. So the game has progressed. And so I would think that there's a lot less injury today. And I think the athletes today are in a lot overall better shape than they were in 50 years ago.
Okay, you're listening to Health Matters. When we come back, we will be talking about childhood obesity. You're listening to Health Matters.
A&T Healthcare is a full-service home healthcare agency that works closely with your hospital discharge planner and other referral sources to ensure that all of you or your loved one's home healthcare needs are met. They provide short or long-term hourly or live-in home health aides, LPNs, and highly trained and qualified nurses and therapists as needed. A&T Healthcare has earned a reputation for dependability, responsiveness, and personalized attention. By working in conjunction with nursing departments, HMOs, managed care insurance companies, and other referral sources, they act as facilitators in planning and anticipating patients' needs at home. Call 845-638-4342 or visit at-healthcare.com.
Hi, this is Stacey Lawrence of the Greenwood Lake Garden Center here with my co-host,
Kevin Sweeney of the Windermere Agency.
We would love it if you all would join us every Friday from 11 to 12 on WTBQ for Greenwood Lake Radio.
All Greenwood Lake, all the time.
Hi, this is Lynn Allen Cione. I'm the president and CEO of the Orange County Chamber of Commerce. Join us every Friday at 12 noon when we will highlight Orange County Chamber's events and business right here on WTBQ Radio, worth listening to.
WTBQ weather. Mostly sunny skies this morning, a few clouds this afternoon near 70. Tonight cloudy with a few showers after midnight, lower 50s. Tomorrow cloudy with showers, could be a thunderstorm in the afternoon in the mid-70s. Showers likely tomorrow night will go down in the upper 40s to around 50. And cloudy on Saturday, there is a chance of some morning showers. Look for highs in the middle 60s. From the WTBQ Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Tony Salimo.
WTBQ feeling all right.
I am feeling all right.
Me too.
You're listening to Health Matters. My name is Peter Fell. I'm the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare. And joining me in the studio is my wife, Ann Fell, Regional Director of A&T Healthcare Patient Services, and Pat Onady, Vice President, and Coach Michael Goetz from Clarkstown. And on the phone, we have Dr. Michael Gillian down in beautiful, sunny Florida. It's actually very sunny up here. Coach, do you like that song, Feeling All Right?
I do.
I love that song. All right. I'm feeling all right. I hear that song. I feel good. I always say that when I walk into a WTBQ, I feel like a rush of endorphins. I feel all the energy that's going on.
The
I try
excitement,
to harness it.
Excitement.
I harness it as much as I can. Now, Dr. Gill, listen attentively. Ann's going to go over some of the things. We're talking about injuries, but there's some like preliminary care that can be done immediately.
I do want to talk a little bit about prevention of injury. We touched on it, how it's changed over the years, and one of the most important things is wearing the protective gear, such as helmets, protective pads and arm pads and gloves. And like you said, it's changed. When it first started, you had leather helmets, and now they wear something definitely firmer and more supportive. It's important to warm up before you start to play and to cool down afterwards. And know the rules of the game. You're right. If you don't know the rules of the game, you can get hurt. You can hurt somebody else. So you got to pay attention to that. And that's why you listen to your coach and you follow those rules and guidelines that he has and she has for you. You have to watch out for others, Pat. And certainly if you are injured, you shouldn't be playing when you're injured. And there is like a timeout now that they do if somebody gets hit and they suspect that they have an injury or a concussion, there'll be a timeout and a rest period.
The concussions, they go through that whole concussion protocol
right.
now.
Right.
And, right. They really shut
before
you down.
Before they let you back on the field.
Right. Yeah.
And you see that in all levels of sport at this point, including professional sports all the way down to, peewee sports and little league and such like that.
Well, I think I agree 100% with you, and I think the addition of athletic trainers has helped to reduce serious injuries, especially brain trauma or head trauma. When you have somebody on the sideline that can take care of that, I know when I was coaching, if I saw a player that was seemed to be a little bit off, I took them out and didn't play them
right.
because it didn't make any sense to hurt the player. I think, as you said, the equipment is a lot better. The ability to diagnose the problem quicker is certainly helpful.
And having someone on the field that is an expert is certainly a help
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely.
And Mike, maybe you want to chime in on this, but I have found some information that the best way to treat a sports injury is to remember rice.
Have you heard that, Mike?
Have you ever heard that term? It's rest the body part that's hurt, ice the area that's injured, mm-hmm. compression to the area with a bandage, unless, of course, it's your neck. I don't think you want to necessarily wrap up your neck. And elevate the injured limb. So, those are good things to remember.
Yeah, that's a general first aid piece from first aid, because as coaches, we all had to take a first aid course.
Yes.
So I think 99% of the coaches were well aware of that, and which still today
is there.
Right.
And it's good to know.
Exactly.
Mike, do you see any sports injuries in your ER?
No, in your trauma center. He's a surgeon.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I wouldn't say a large amount, but yes, we do have kids coming in that have been banged up with a TBI, traumatic brain injury, and we observe them and watch them and make sure that they don't have a bleed and do all the appropriate things you have to do for concussions.
Right,
yeah,
right.
I'm still joking. I know about the
so. In spite of it all, there are benefits to playing sport as a child and growing up. Because, and we know this, and we hear about it all the time, but childhood obesity is more than doubled in children and quadrupled in adolescents over the last 30 years. So
that's
being active is so important to help reduce the childhood obesity. Obesity, an obese youth is more likely to have risk factors such as cardiovascular disease, like high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and are more likely to have prediabetes. So, you know, those are just things that we deal with all the time. But if you're starting out as a young child and being overweight, certainly you're going to see those effects later on in life. Adolescents who are obese as they get older also have a greater risk of bone and joint problems, mm-hmm. sleep apnea, and, of course, the social and psychological problems that go along with being overweight, such as poor self-esteem that especially adolescents deal with anyway. So being active and feeling good about yourself certainly will help you to deal with that. Overweight and obesity, as we know, are associated with an increased risk of many types of cancer, including breast and colon cancer, which are the higher cancers that we see.
That might be your fibroid. Is that your fibroid?
Healthy lifestyle habits, including healthy eating and physical activity, can lower your risk of becoming obese and developing those diseases.
Yeah, no, I think it's always important. I know we're talking about lacrosse. I've never played the game. I don't know if I actually could have played the game. But one of the things that I always stress to our listening audiences is that you do have to be active. And if you can't participate in a high school sport, I just know it's very competitive. I remember going to Clarkstown North, like on the basketball and baseball, a lot of competition. And, you know, if you weren't able to play, and there's a lot of like intramurals, but there's always something that you can do. And that's what's important. We always stress this about just, you know, doing some kind of exercise, cardiovascular, and it's always good with the children. And I always say this about our listeners, lead by example. Okay, I have to say, Pat and Coach, tell us about your and Michael, I'm sure your daughters, as far as like how they were healthy. Did you lead by example? I know your children, Pat, are very active in sports, and Jacqueline and all, but.
Well, my kids always heard, you know, that I played a lot of different sports growing up. Ironically, none of my kids ever made the move for lacrosse.
Okay.
But I never pushed them. I got a stick. If they wanted to play, they played. If they didn't, they didn't. My daughter is, through the years, has played three sports in high school. She plays softball, tennis, and basketball. 1 year she ran winter track at Albertus Magnus High School. And that's what she loved. My son tried different sports, soccer. He tried football. But all of a sudden, one day, he said he wants to start running. And
good.
He got
yeah.
into the cross-country running, which is, you know, goes into the winter track and spring track. So he's busy all year long. So mm-hmm. The one thing I like about it is it keeps them focused. One season my daughter didn't play, and I found that that's the time when she felt that she had a lot of extra time and mm-hmm. you put yeah. off doing what you have to do.
Yeah.
And it keeps you focused. It keeps you with another group of kids. And as a parent, the saying goes, kids get in trouble between 2:30 and 6.
Oh, boy.
That's absolutely so true.
7 o'clock.
So
do you
nice
know where your
are.
Children are? I remember
right.
that. You remember that.
Oh,
was
yeah.
Channel 5.
I think they still do.
10 o'clock. Is it 7 or 10 o'clock? I forget.
Yeah, 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock. My
yeah,
mother would
o'clock.
Say, but Peter's here, John's here, Susan. She used to always answer the question when they asked that. So
right. I never did that because I was in bed by 10. So I had to check on my kids. But no, they were always there. My kids were my son was an athlete. He played three different sports. My daughter played two different sports. My son also played while he was in college. My daughter was running around, but she's never really had any type of obesity kind of problem. I'm watching my grandchildren now, which is a kick and a half, and they're so busy. My wife and I babysat for them for a week. I was so exhausted and needed to sleep for 5 days.
It's I know. Like, we need a vacation
it's
after.
It's like unbelievable. They're involved in so, so many things. You know, karate and soccer and basketball. And
now we're in
I'm dizzy dance. And my
That's right. Don't forget dance. And
it's crazy. But you made a great point, Pat, and I think the fact that it keeps them out of trouble, it keeps them focused, it keeps them on a schedule. You come home, you have to do your homework. The reason you have to do your homework right away is you have a practice coming up. So that has to be taken care of. Everything is set out. I think the more scheduled you are, the safer you are. It keeps you away from temptations that might not be so good for you. And today there are a lot of temptations. I think these iPads and so on, you know, save them for a weekend in the morning when you're home with them rather than all day checking out what's on, you know, what's on YouTube or whatever. Well, people don't communicate anymore. They don't even speak to each other. They text.
We only text a lot of time.
It's crazy.
And it's wonderful to have all the new technology, but it doesn't mean that the old things go away.
Exactly.
We are adding to what we're doing, and you know, playing a sport. There's so many benefits than to just be fit. It helps you do better in school.
Absolutely.
It helps you learn teamwork. And that's something that you mentioned early on.
Right,
I think everybody kind of mentioned that.
Teamwork.
And it's about working as a team. And that's so important. And if you're just texting people back and forth, you're not interacting with people. So
right.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're interacting with letters.
Right, as opposed to face-to-face and being comfortable to communicate with each other.
Right, and I think that's the other problem. If I text somebody, hi, how are you? I could really mean, hi, how are you? Or I could mean, hi, how are you?
Right, there's
something to be said about a voice.
The tone isn't there in the text.
No, and we don't really know.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
I like you. You know, I mean all of these kinds of things.
Oh, yeah, I like
funny
you.
As in funny, ha-ha, or funny as in weird, okay?
Right.
You're listening to Health Matters, and when we come back, we'll finish our discussion on the benefits of playing sports and just being active, having an active lifestyle when you're young. Listen to Health Matters.
Hello, this is Tom Babington, Vice President of A&T Healthcare. A&T Healthcare, created in 1984 by two nurses, is a family-owned and operated home health agency managed by professional nurses. We have set the highest standards of quality care. A&T Healthcare provides a full range of in-home and private duty nursing services, from live-in to hourly home health aides and companions who can assist with basic daily care needs. We also have highly trained, experienced, and skilled nurses who are qualified to provide all levels of medical case management services. A&T also offers private duty home health aides, as well as private nurse placement for patients who are hospitalized and may have special needs or require extra attention. A&T Healthcare is dedicated to providing high-quality home health services for caregivers and families who are caring for loved ones at home with dignity. A&T provides home health services for newborns to seniors and is a New York State licensed service agency serving Rockland, Westchester, Orange, Dutchess, Putnam Green, Ulster, Sullivan, Nassau, and Suffolk counties, as well as the five boroughs of New York City and New Jersey. When you contact A&T Healthcare, one of their trained and dedicated skilled nursing professionals will provide you with answers to those complicated questions at the time when you truly need someone to take your hand and help you through the maze of healthcare. For more information, please visit our website, at-healthcare.com, or call 845-638-4342 and get the answers that will give you peace of mind.
Hi, this is Austin DuBois of Bluestein Shapiro, Rich and Barone. Tune in every Friday at 10 a.m. for It's the Law. I'll be talking about how the law can help you. That's every Friday at 10 a.m. on WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
This is Sister Anna. Listen to The Garden of the Child, a story discussion time with students. Story develops listening skills and imagination. Saturdays at 11:10 a.m. on WTBQ.
And welcome back to Health Matters. My name is Peter Feller. I'm the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare. I have my wife, Ann Feller, in the studio audience, Pat Onady, Coach Getz, and Dr. Michael Gilligan calling from beautiful, sunny Florida. Mike, real quickly, how about your daughters and everything? How active were they in sports, or how did they fare with that? Mike?
To you, my brother and I are on the golf course. We're playing.
All right.
That's active.
All right.
We have our member guest this weekend, so he flew down from Massachusetts.
Oh, great.
That's great.
I just hit a 5-wood 200 yards down the middle.
All right. I don't want to go straight.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
Well, you know, I do want to say that we're talking a lot about men in sports and boys in sports, but women and girls are also very active. And I do want to say that cheerleading is also considered a sport. And it's considered one of the world's most dangerous sports. Cheerleading is the leading cause of sports injuries.
Wow.
And most common injuries are to the feet, the ankles, and the legs. And fortunately, those aren't always as serious, but cheerleaders can get neck and back injuries as well as head injury. And it's important, the same for cheerleaders, to warm up, wear protective gear, be sure you're spotted when you're doing acrobatics and stunts. And stunts can be very complicated. Always practice with the floor pads and have a coach or teammate spot you. And we have to remember that as well. So, you know, guys.
No, that's a great, great point, because
so we have to pay attention.
I think what happens is we take cheerleaders for granted.
Right.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Oh, look, they're jumping up and down and waving these little...
it is very athletic.
But it's extremely mm-hmm. athletic, and they really have to be in terrific shape.
They really do.
And I think now they now practice on a softer, cushioned floor rather than
the hardwood floors.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. And they wear different equipment. Those saddle shoes are gone, and they're wearing, you know, good sneakers, good... feet protection.
Without pom-poms.
Well, it's, with the little pom-poms on the end.
Right.
You still have to wear hair bow, though. Anyway, sports are excellent for girls' health as well. Being fit helps maintain a healthy weight. And girls who play sports are less likely to smoke. So that is a big plus. Playing sports boosts your self-confidence, and it exercise also helps to lessen stress. And we know the stress that all young people have on them, from peer pressure to school pressure to family pressure to, you know,
don't
have
do
to
drugs
succeed.
Or alcohol. And right. That. We've had numerous shows on
absolutely.
That, but that's
right.
Something.
No time for that when you're
when you're
an
busy,
athlete.
Right. When you're
busy,
you're busy and you have other people that you're responsible to, your coach, your teammates, and you have to be on your best game. So
right.
It does help to keep away from some of those more enticing
things. Yeah, that's a great point, too, because my philosophy was always your team is good as your weakest player.
Exactly.
So if you're the weakest player, then you've got to bring up your skill level or whatever it is you need to do. If you're slow, you've got to become a little bit faster, which means if you're overweight, guess what? Maybe it's a good idea to lose some weight. And
right.
So
I
think that helps.
Because you are part of a unit.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Especially in team sports, but even in track or cross country, you're still part of a team because the scores at the end add up. And if you don't have the right score – oh, you didn't do well, your team could lose.
Right.
So therefore, you try to work as hard as you can
together.
And bring up your
mm-hmm.
times. And I think generally speaking, I think athletes probably are a lot more healthy than the average population. But what happens is I think as you get older, older athletes have a tendency to let things go. They don't have the regimen. They don't have somebody on them all the time.
That could be it.
And I think this hurts them.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
That's just my observations.
Well, Michael, Dr. Gillian, but time is going so fast. I thought we could just like summarize. Would you be able to just summarize, Michael, about ways to prevent injury? I mean, we talked about, but give us some basic things just to summarize some things that people should be doing to prevent injuries.
You mentioned the stretching. I mean, that's critical.
Stretching? Okay.
Stretching, yeah. You know, and every sport has a muscle group that's utilized more than in another sport. So whatever muscle group that is, for golf, it would be your abdominals and your back muscles and your legs. Resistance training, just a little resistance training in the weight room for that muscle group is excellent.
Okay.
And that gives you that pliability of the muscle memory to function better. And, you know, and then just good aerobic exercise on top of that.
I mean, I already know, Michael, that you're on a golf course right now, which is amazing. But is there anything else you do as far as keeping fit?
Well, you know, you go in the weight room and you do your
You're doing the weight room. Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask Pat now. Pat, what are you doing now to continue? All I know is that you were so quick in high school. You still look quick, but what do you do now as far as maintaining your weight and your health?
I still work out with the weights. I don't lift like I used to because I don't have to lift like I used to.
Mm-hmm.
I do a lot more just resistance, stretching.
Yeah, that's what Dr. Okay.
Walking on the treadmill. I don't really jog. I have bad knees.
Mm-hmm.
So I could jog on the treadmill, but then I'm taking the Advil, so it doesn't really work.
Right.
But, you know, I still stay active with my kids when they're in sports. I still go out and have a catch. I'll still go out and play basketball with them. When I was coaching the basketball teams, I would still go out and run up and down with them and the drills and stuff because I always found that it was easier to instruct while I was out there than just standing on the line telling somebody what to do. You know, if you're out there, you can show them what to do. So. I find that when I'm not doing something physical, some exercise, I feel worse.
Okay, interesting. Wow. People don't realize I'm too tired to exercise, but the idea is you got to exercise so you won't feel tired.
You're so right, though. Whenever I'm not doing enough physically, I feel stiff. I feel tired.
Sluggish.
Yeah. So if you're out there doing something.
It's like also like that Saturday morning when you wake up and then you say, oh, I don't really have to get up. So you lay in bed and then you watch a little TV, maybe fall back to sleep. And then you go to get up later on. You feel like, I feel worse. And sometimes you say to yourself, it's just better just to get up.
Just get up and get moving.
Yeah. You know, a body at rest stays at rest and body motion stays in motion.
Physics. So. You know, we're just about running out of time. I wanted very quickly to talk about when you were honored a couple of weeks ago, Coach Guest at Clarkstown for all the 5 years of being the father. That was your son read this absolutely superb thing about your life. And it became very emotional. Your son got very emotional at one time, and I'm a big tough guy, but I started getting emotional because he was getting emotional. But it was like such an honor with everyone just was right there to support you the whole time. And you had to have felt so good about that. And really, that's such a testament to the kind of person that you've been. I never played for you, and you were not my guidance counselor, but I feel I've known you.
Yeah.
Well, I was very, very touched. Number one, the fact that they were celebrating the 50 years. Number two, to see all of my players from 1966 through 1986, many of them came back. Some flew in from Colorado.
Wow.
I got phone calls from Oregon. My first most valuable player back in 1966 called me. He couldn't make it. I mean, it was just incredible. My son's speech brought me to tears.
Yeah.
Not that the other players didn't. I'm still in touch with many, many of my players. One of my players actually sent me his national championship trophy to thank me for all I did for him. I couldn't get over that. Another player who cannot see took a bus down from Albany.
Wow.
And came to the game and said to me, Coach, I can't see you, but I can feel you.
Oh, what a that,
and
that,
I just cracked up. But my son equated it to Mr. Holland's opus.
Oh, that's right.
Sounded like that's what it was.
No, yeah.
Congratulations.
So, I only
thank you. Thank
Listen,
you so much.
Dr. Gilligan, we can have you on again, Dr. Gilligan?
Oh, sure.
Oh, man. Yes, really, no thank problem. You so much. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Coach Getz.
Oh, you're welcome.
And Coach Getz,
Michael,
can we have
you
on again? Can we have you on again?
Of course.
And he did say you were the best. Did you hear him say? And Pat, you're always here, so you're easy to get.
And,
so,
and Pat's listen, just, also the
we're
best.
We're just about out of time. So listen, stay healthy because your health does matter. And to you, your family, and friends, I wish you all the best. We'll see you next week on Thursday at 10 o'clock on Health Matters. Have a good day.
Good day, everyone.